Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
On today's cast, we're going to discuss where all the psychers in the Imperium are. I feel like there should be a lot more of them, and they're not. Also, what are black ships? What's the Astra Telepathica? And a whole lot in the Astronomicon.
This is going to get real dark real fast.
Yeah, this is not going to be one of our happier casts. Before we begin, as always, it's time for the plugs. So exactly. Like and subscribe to the podcast, please. Cannot harp on the Discord enough. Please join the Discord. It's actually quite large. I think we're over 300 members now. It's also vibrant. There's a lot of interaction. We've got lots of different
channels. On every channel, too. There's so much talk in everything from hobby to talking about the episodes, talking about future episodes, to talking about just literally random stuff. That's my first literal, by the way.
Nice. We actually do use this thing. Actually, Ami's literal. We literally use this thing for inspiration on episode ideas. People have written to us. The Space Marine episode was completely one that came out of our Discord. It was not something that we probably would have done on our own eventually, but it got moved up the list massively by the Discord. We've got some other ones. In fact, this one also came out of it, too.
This is wildly not something we were planning.
Yeah, so this is fantastic. And so if you like the episode and you want to come in that way, please join the Discord. Do it that way. Also, a Facebook page you can reach us via. It's great. If you want to support us, we have a Patreon. There's a link in the show notes for that, too, to help us get better microphones so I can, you know, lean away from the microphone again. Better audio equipment.
Let's talk about the fact that we should probably also support the thing that I do.
Yeah, for those who are not aware, Brad is actually exceptionally good at Warhammer. He is, when I say actually, I mean in a bad way. he loves the lore, but Brad is a top 10 player of Warhammer every single year. One thing that Brad does with that is he does coach. He offers coaching. It's online coaching, over the phone, etc. He's got a lot of different options. And as everyone on this cast knows how incredibly honest I am, Brad is quite good at this. From a coaching standpoint, he has helped me out quite a few times. This isn't even full-blown coaching, just a, hey, I was going to run this 2,000-point list. And he's going, well, throw those 300 points right in the garbage and then put these 300 points in and you actually might do something with it. And he's been right every single time. So even if you're just a casual player who just is getting into the game, wants to have a better grasp of it, he's available. It's not like you have to sign a 6-year commitment with him.
Only 5-year.
Exactly, only 5-year. It's a great way for people who want to play 40K and are kind of nervous about how it's played.
Especially if you're nervous coming to play. I love working with people that are fairly new to the scene, looking to go to bigger tournaments and stuff. A little preparation will lead to a ton of success. Mm-hmm. And not just success as far as, I'm going to go 5-0. It's about having the best time you can possibly have. That's one of the biggest things is we're playing with toy soldiers. You should be having a great time. I will help you have the best time while doing the best you can do.
It's also a matter of not doing something that's going to make you auto lose 5 games to the exact same mistake that you then have to go home for a tournament and go, well, damn it.
Yeah. so not taking something that you're not going to have fun with because you saw someone online say that this was the best.
Yeah, but I don't think you've ever told someone to take a Gargantuan Squiggoth and best decision I've ever made for 2 tournaments in a row.
Because you should have taken 2.
There we go. I would have taken Squiggoth, but can't do that anymore. Anyway, so with that, let's jump into the
episode. Hold on. BradChester1@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. That's how you reach him. So, all right, let's jump into the cast. The origins of psychers in the galaxy is where we want to begin. So we actually don't know the true history of psychers because obviously the emperor was one and he's from around 8,000 BCE. Yeah, I said BCE. That's what I'm going to say now because it's before the common era. That's what it stands for. Deal with it.
Whatever.
Anyway, so we understand there's some random stories here and there about lesser psychers, at least in humanity. Obviously, there were psychers in the Eldar. This is more
humanity.
Yeah, this cast is solely revolving around humanity.
Let's pack this up because humanity wasn't born into psychics. Eldar, crafted, molded, born into psychics. Some of the other races, the old ones, we won't even go into the old ones. The old ones were beyond. But a lot of the other races you talk about, the Redan, think people of that nature, were just born into psychics. Humanity wasn't born psychically aware. We grew into psychically aware.
Or
we were forced.
Yeah.
Or it's a mutation. Well, I'm saying that, well, it's still.
There's a third option, which is it was introduced to us.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I kind of think that, but continue. Yeah,
I think where we're going to end
up. Those are boons of, you had magicians, sorcerers, psychers, wizards, and I think that these were all just people lured by boons of Slaanesh, or Tzeentch.
Historically, when you read the stories, you don't really see the emperor doesn't really come into heavy power until during the Dark Age of Technologies, when he starts doing some of his biggest stuff.
He starts experimenting.
Well, he was effectively dormant for, what is that, like 25,000
or more? He was
born in 8,000, and then Dark Age of Technologies.
Well, like you don't even know. They've retconned that like so many times.
Yeah,
the Emperor may or may not have been a caveman walking around. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we don't. But I'm gonna go with the most. I think in the most current books, he was born in the 8,000 BCE.
Era. But he was around for a long time
and never did anything.
And effectively, he just scrapbooked and kept a journal.
Yeah. Just hung out.
But the thing is he was a precog, so he knew that things were going to happen. Yeah. And I think he was just trying to really
time it.
It's not even just time it. I think that he was trying to figure out his own personal power, because this is a weird thing. We're not just going just into the Emperor. It will be kind of into the Emperor, because there's a lot of things going on with this. But the Emperor is a being of almost unlimited power that had to figure out how to use his unlimited power, because the Emperor wasn't born with a instruction manual. He was the greatest American hero. You're welcome. 80s sitcom. Oh, but the Emperor knew he had power. He can see he has power. He has no idea how to get to that power. And I really do think that it took a long time for him to figure out how he could make that power work.
I would agree with that. Now, what ends up happening is you see in mankind during the it's hard to gauge. So the Dark Age of Technology, there's not a ton of detail around this, because it is the Age of Technology, then the Dark Age of Technology, and the Age of Strife are all the same thing.
Well, Strife is kind of after, they overlap a bit. But the biggest thing is that
that's when Psykers.
Yeah, well, there's Psykers around, because he was originally created by the whole.
But that's what I'm saying. So my theory on this is that what you had was, for a long time, humans were Psykers.
But and the thing about very being, few and far between, though.
Right, but there were some. The problem is that you had to learn how to be a Psyker to the point of the Emperor. And unless you're a perpetual, you've got. If you think about lifespans for a human being,
it might take you your whole life to know the warp exists. Yeah,
you probably don't realize you have these powers till you're maybe in your late teens, at best early 20s. These are powers that could just get you murdered. It's because people, you know, hey, it's a witch, burn her.
Or you just got killed.
Which, do, by the way, the important thing about witches is they weigh more or less than a duck.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
Great job. Anyway, but the issue is that.
God. Yeah, but they're innocent if they sink.
Exactly. It's like, I'm just saying, what else floats? Small rocks. Sorry, if you're not aware, I'm huge Monty Python fan. But anyway, these psychers would have had 20 or 30 years to master a power that was inconceivable. So most psychers, in my opinion, who were born, probably just died before they could ever manifest any semblance of real power.
Or they just got snuffed out and no one knew about it.
Exactly. This changes around the birth of Tzeentch, because now Tzeentch can reach into these psychers and offer them the ability to cast spells, which would time out really well with this Age of Technology, Age of Strife, where you start to see more and more psychers.
And the thing is that we did lose, because they gave a whole lot of... Because remember, the Emperor was supposed to be created by a... Cabal of shamans.
But the thing is that
we lost our way for a while during the Dark Age of Technology, and we didn't. We lost our ability, or at least people that knew that we had the ability.
Yeah, my theory on that is that, because what happens is that what you also get stories of is that at the end, kind of as we're coming out of the age of strife is all these stories of worlds that were effectively sacked by a psyker.
Oh, we went from zero psykers to all of the psykers.
Which is my theory is this is more of a Tzeentch thing. Is that we were never at zero psychers. They just didn't know how to use their powers. And then all of a sudden, because we're getting what we were having would be like a modern era psyker for us. With someone, if it's 2024, if you had a psyker, but they don't understand what the warp is, how to touch the warp, there's no education on it. How far could their powers be? David Blaine?
Think about it though. I think that also Tzeentch started off giving wild power to certain people and then realized this doesn't actually give me good long-term plans.
And so Tzeentch figures.
Because you go, hey, I just gave this guy the ability to nuke continents with lightning bolts. Well, this doesn't help me because someone just shows up and just kills that guy.
Yeah.
And then he went, well, I could be way more subtle. As he started to become more of a big chain instead of a small stuff.
And probably also had more power to infect more psychers.
Right. So
that's why my theory is that it's always been about the same percentage. It won't be something about the same percentage of psychers in humanity, but Tzeentch made those psychers so much more powerful that the term psyker is where a lot of this comes from. Like we're moving from magician to psyker. And I think that's probably what happened.
And people that could actually do something with it.
Yeah, and that's
he keeps letting people touch because you get a person that could got visions here and there to a person that was controlling actual warp powers.
Exactly. So this is where the growth of psykers during the age of technology, I think, really comes into play. So the age of technology is rocking and rolling. Mankind is spreading throughout the galaxy. And two things happen around the same time. And we for those of you who are in the Discord know, I've already promised you I'll do this. We will do a cast on the Men of Iron and the Fall. It is just hard to find the enough resources.
Because went from Age of Technology, which also is considered the Dark Age of Technology.
Because it became because the Men of Iron turned at the exact same time the warp storms exploded as Slaanesh was getting close to birth. So the entire galaxy is now cut off. And anything from anywhere from a single planet to maybe a system are now have no access.
Also, we couldn't travel besides the warp without the Men of Iron.
Yeah.
So, and the Men of Iron decided that they weren't real cool with us.
Yeah, they went on strike hard.
So we had a huge war between that. And then we have the Age of Strife, which is when we were all separate. We were everywhere.
Yeah.
We're cut off from each other. And this is when individual psykers became a thing because it had to. You were actually, to be fair, you had to delve into those psychic powers to live, to succeed, because things started to spiral into chaos,
You've got multiple problems. One, the Men of Iron were in charge of all logistics, so there's no, and which includes growing food. Yep. So you've got no food. You've also got no protection because the galaxy was still very much so full of horrors. There are creatures coming out. I mean, the Ragdan probably were around at this time. Like all these things. So you're getting attacked. You're running out of food. You're running this. Tzeentch is offering these psykers incredible spells. And so now you start seeing psykers, and the psykers go multiple ways. Some of the psykers use this to kind of uplift and protect their world.
Others become tyrants immediately.
Become warlords, pirates, all these things.
I read that Vecna was a cool dude.
This becomes the age of technology, the age of strife. The psykers are growing all over the place. And it is the other side too, though, that is important here is, and no one knows this, but the use of psychic powers, psykers have a connection to the Immaterium, which is now growing, which means you give a way in.
It's a connect. They keep giving connections, and the more connections, the more they can influence. So we went from they're throwing wild Hail Marys out and giving these huge powers out, of course, because they only have limited times. Every time there's a connection, that connection never breaks. It lessens. But there's still a tendril. Mm-hmm. There's still a tendril, and you keep pushing more and more and more of these.
Yep.
And then the ruinous powers can make forays without people calling out. They can approach people. They can start trying to influence more and more.
The biggest one is they can use you to enter the material.
Yep.
And you now have, and it's interesting to me when you read the lore on this, because we know that there were entire planets lost to demonic incursions. So in the Great Crusade, they would come across these worlds. Now, luckily, the thing is, remember, demons can't hold form.
So a lot of times they disappear. Well, that's crazy to it, because you got to think, you have a world that clearly shows that it got horribly huge battles were taking place, and you go, where the hell is all the people that were fighting?
No skeletons. There's nothing. There's just like, something bad happened here, but everyone's gone.
Yeah, and it also looks like there was creatures, because there's sword marks and claw marks, and you're like, where there's zero dead creatures.
There's nothing here. Because the thing is, I mean, we all understand how fossils work. You can go anywhere. Things don't degrade this well, you know, unless it's just warped away.
Okay. So. And the thing is that the demons would take the world and then just be bummed because there's nothing left for them to do, and then they go away.
One thing that this created, and as we've discussed in the past, is an animosity in humanity towards the Psykers. Because one piece that we probably should mention here, which we didn't, on us, a lot of worlds murdered their Psykers as soon as they
saw. Instant. Yeah. And the thing is that while this is wildly superstition, it also, a lot of times, is for the good. It
worked really well.
Because you just didn't get one guy creating a big black hole in the sky that demons poured through.
Well, and that's the thing. When you're with, as the Great Crusade is going through, and this is where people like Leman Rawson have had a lot of animosity towards them, is that they kept going. The worlds that fought the Great Crusade the most were the worlds that oftentimes had Psykers in them. Because those Psykers were warlords. They had incredible power and all these things. Whereas the worlds who killed off all their Psykers, but were able to survive, usually barely, welcomed the Imperium with open arms. So there is this kind of just becomes, this spreads. And over time, the viewpoint on Psykers is, you know, they're...
Well, it's the common denominator. You go, hey, every time I have to fight a ridiculous battle where people I know and love die, it's because these guys are
8 out of 10 times they're there. And even the rest of the times too, there's a viewpoint of like, oh yeah, they do some good, which we're about to dive into in a second. But there's just a lot of animosity. But before we kind of continue down the Psyker path, I do want to take a left turn a little bit into a very specific variation of the Psykers, because this is a cast. We're going to be telling a full cast in multiple parts because everything here interacts. But the problem is that there's not a linear way to do this. So we're going to bounce around a little bit, guys, just because it's hard. I couldn't write this in a way that was linear. So we're just going to jump into Navigators from Psykers.
Which you have to have Navigators or we don't exist.
Yeah. So Navigators are a variation of a Psyker, but they're different. First off, they are mutants. They have an eye and an older forehead.
Well, also they get a job that sucks so much because the way we treat navigators is horrific.
Well, yeah, we're going to dive into kind of why we do it that way, but let's start with where they come from. The navigators first appeared, we don't know when, because the truth is someone has the third eye, you might just murder them. But anyway.
You shoot them in the third eye.
Yeah, somewhere around, because idiot John, sorry guys. All the travel, Dark Age of Technology, or Age of Technology, was FTL drives. They weren't using warp drives yet.
Yep.
The warp drives come later. These beings are being born that do have a third eye. And the third eye allows them to actually see into the warp and see distances. These guys do appear during the beginning part of the Age of Technology.
Well, it's not just distance. They can see the topography of the warp. They can guide you through the in something you can't see at all.
They can see it, and what they're able to do is, if you think about it, before we're using warp drives, what these people could do is they could actually see distances that no one else could see. They could see systems away if there was something there that was shining. They knew about it. Surprise, surprise! They were considered useless and mutants and horrifying for a long period of time, but a certain someone, nicknamed the Emperor, found a value in them, potentially.
Again, you're going to take the guy that's precog.
Yeah, he could be able to see this. What a navigator can do Also, if you do it correctly, is you can put them on the front of a ship or in the bridge of a ship, and they can actually help that ship navigate, if you're using a warp drive, where the hell you're going based on things.
Which is really funny, by the way. Side story on Psykers on this. Mm-hmm. The Imperium tried to use warp drives without Geller fields and without navigators.
Yeah, they tried. And
no, I'm just saying, it's not like they should did this once. They did this a bunch. Yeah, they tried to YOLO swag through the warp.
Originally, they were able to do it. They were able to do short jumps initially without navigators or Geller fields because the warp wasn't that dangerous yet. And they were doing short jumps. But there are stories of the ship would leave. It would leave. They would all die. Or it would arrive, they'd play, it's a 1 month jump, and they'd arrive in a week. Other times they wouldn't arrive. Other times they'd arrive in the wrong system.
Or they'd arrive before.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a mess.
This is the crazy thing about man, is that we just kept trying for a while. We'll probably figure this out. You're like, people are dying. You're like, not everybody.
Compared to everything in the galaxy, except for maybe Tyranids, we breed like guppies.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Just like, we've got more guys. And some of the guys made it.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of people who were on the wrong side of the Emperor during the great conquest of Terra. So let's do something with them. Let's see what happens when Eric gets shot through and jumps through this field. But the navigators, the key thing on the navigators is they were able to actually help navigate the warp. One key difference between a navigator and a psyker is psykers seem to be born randomly. Navigators are a genetic trait. We don't know when it first happened. Is it possible?
Families of navigators.
Yeah. And so they actually are.
Well, they're actually houses.
Yeah. They're effectively, they're nobles.
Well, to be fair, again, I think they're more like a guild, though. They operate almost like the Doom guilds.
That's what I was about to say. They are technically nobles, but they have insane levels of power. But the mutation they have, if you see images of them, it's usually just a human with a third eye. But when you read the lore, it's much worse than that. Some of them are horrifyingly mutated.
A lot of them are
Emperor of Emperor and Dune. Mutated.
That's one of the biggest things, and we'll talk about how we treat the navigators because they get put in the basement quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But they don't need them to be able to be even exist because they'll take someone that would die if you left them alone, and they just stuff them in a jar and put them in the basement, and now they're the navigator.
One of my favorite stories about navigators is that the Emperor hates them, or he hated them. He probably still does, but whatever. Hit one of the big things, he only allowed their existence because he wanted to finish his Webway project. And as soon as the Webway project was over, there were apparently, according to the lore, standing orders to kill them all. Like, it was going to be the Custodes. We all know who was going to be in charge of it.
It was either the Custodes or the Dark Angels.
Yeah. Well, no, this
is true.
This is Dallas. Like, we know who he's going to use for this. Just go murder all of them. And then the Webway thing didn't quite work out. So now we still have them. But yeah, these are, when we use the term mutant, they are well beyond the what we would call the appetizing viewpoint of mutant.
Well, the thing is let's go into this, because there was wild mutations amongst psykers.
Yeah.
And when I say mutations, I don't mean a third eye, this guy was a little bit taller than everybody. I mean, hey man, this guy's half chicken, half giraffe.
Yeah.
And you're like, that seems bad. Yeah. It was real bad.
Those ones would just be, they get culled from the population. But navigators, because of their value, get protected. Now, if you're going to navigate, one way that really helps you navigate is to have points to navigate. I'm going to be honest, guys.
There's a pretty big one right now.
I lost 30 minutes of my life to this because when I first read it, when I read it the first time, it made no damn sense to me. So I'm going to explain. So you're all going to sit through a John explanation of you might not care, but I lost a bunch of my time to doing it. So
now it also doesn't make sense unless the Emperor knew he was going to get smoked.
Well, so the Emperor decides in order to navigate the warp, we need to have a key beacon. And so we have a lighthouse in the warp. This way you can kind of navigate your way around the warp based on one point. And that is
going to be Holy Terra.
Yeah. And this one point, we put enough psychic, because what happens is what navigators really can see within the warp is chunks of high levels of primarily of psychic energy. And the idea was, we're going to give them a center point to navigate off of now.
Also, whoopsie.
Well, people who have any semblance of how to navigate, you know, in the woods or at sea, or what I'm talking about, you can't use one point. You have to triangulate. It's called triangulate because there's three. So anyway, effectively, what this is designed to do is give one fixed point, and then you use two what are somewhat variable points, and that's how you jump around the galaxy. The navigators actually navigate via warp storms and what's going to later be called the Astronomicon. This doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm quite annoyed by it. I was hoping that...
I mean, the Astronomicon's biggest claim to fame is the fact that it gives the Terrans a good spot to go to.
Well, yeah, we'll get there. Actually, later on next episode, spoiler alert. But yeah, the Astronomicon, this way the Emperor decided to build a giant... Basically, long story short, the Emperor decides to build a giant lighthouse that all of his navigators and all of his ships, so that he can launch the Great Crusade. This is the last major construction done on Terra before the Great Crusade begins. The challenge that the Emperor really had to overcome was he needed a beacon that was so powerful and so strong that it could go anywhere. And so he brings in the Admech, and he builds a giant structure that focuses psychic energy and magnifies it.
In the shape of a throne?
It's around a throne. It's just on top of a throne.
It's totally that.
I know. It's not the best thing.
The problem is that here I'm going to sideline us real quick, which is, did the Emperor always know that he was going to be struck down? Because this makes way more sense.
No.
Then why?
Well, the why is because he needed to reach a massive distance.
Now I get it. But like, if you go, hey, what would be the best way to make this work? If I was throttled to the
And this is where the Astronomicon becomes interesting. So the Astronomicon, the Emperor basically can project his essence to it, and then that fuels it, and the light just shines brighter. Mm-hmm. During the Great Crusade, as some of you already forgot, but he wasn't on Terra. Right. He actually could power the Astronomicon from across the galaxy for a period of time by just giving a portion of his essence over to it.
And this is a big deal in this, because bad English dad, he's multitasking a lot during the Great Crusades. The Emperor's doing great works. He's also doing a bunch of dick shit, but he also, again, could have taken 5 minutes, and a lot of this would have not been a big deal.
One problem is that the entirety of the Imperium's ability to travel is the Astronomicon. Without the Astronomicon, the navigators have no fixed point of reference. All the ships in the entire galaxy are wandering aimlessly or trying to use an FTL drive. An FTL drive is great when you're going 1 or 2 light years. It's not great when you're going 1,000 light years.
Well, it's also a big deal because of the fact that all the Emperor's plans are pretty goddamn Emperor specific, because all of the Emperor's plans say, I have to be doing this or everything falls apart.
In this case, the issue, this all kind of comes to a head at Ulanor, where the Emperor is leading the charge on the orcs of Ulanor, and a big mech grabs him and almost crushes him. Luckily, Horus jumps in and kills it. At this moment, the Emperor seems to, and he doesn't admit it, seems to have that moment of recognizing his own mortality. And suddenly...
Yeah, he's a perpetual.
Right, but he is... There's questions on him being a perpetual is what I'm getting at.
Well, it's like, also the fact that he's also has a shit ton of stuff that he's...
Well, he's like, a perpetual, but let's talk about it. He's a perpetual, but how long does it take a perpetual to come back to life?
Yeah, the true story.
That's the thing. It's like, so if all of a sudden, fine, perpetual, the Big Mac kills him, but the Emperor's gone for 10 years.
Well, you know, it's also the fact that there's a bunch of stuff that he's so powerful he's doing in the background. He's legitimately doing the Astronomicon as his breathing exercises as he's doing everything else.
Exactly. So this is the true, my opinion, the true reason the Emperor hands the reins over to Horus and go back to Terra is that realization that if something goes wrong and I'm caught out here unaware, my entire empire crumbles. So he decides to go back to what is effectively the safest place.
Which could have been stopped by you just talking to like four people in an email.
Tell eight people what you were doing.
Yeah.
Other than more people than Malkador. Let's just put it that way.
Who's also like Dick Cheney. So.
The other problem that was starting to occur, though, is as the emperor, to Brad's point, is doing 50 tasks all at once, he's not able to power the Astronomicon with enough energy to really keep it as bright and shiny
as it needs,
to be. Because the brighter, because basically the Astronomicon determines how far mankind can go. Where if they can see it, you can go there. If it's too faded, you can't go there.
He wants the whole Milky Way. Yeah.
We'll be right back after a quick break. It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Exactly. So what's the best way to feed that Astronomicon?
You add more energy. It's like anything. If you want, if you have a light bulb that's kind of dim, you add more electricity.
Well, how do you add energy on that?
Well, what if there was a bunch of other psychers who could help out?
Well, here's the thing, John. If you're a psyker that's not as powerful as the Emperor and you try to add your psychic energy to the Astronomicon, what happens to you? Almost instantly.
The thing is, we talk about the Emperor's Webway project. He actually began this. We're not sure if it's before the Great Crusade or right at the beginning, but it's pretty early in the process, the Webway project.
Well, it might actually have been like way before.
It's hard to gauge it exactly when the Webway project was, but his plan was always to not use the Astronomicon. It was eventually to basically not even have ships, just use Webway gates to get everywhere, like the Eldar do, although they don't. But it's a side note. However, the Emperor was not, even for being a perpetual, he's not the most patient person.
The Emperor is wildly patient, but he's super impatient. Every time he puts an idea once his plan's a go, his plan is full go.
Yeah.
No breaks.
So they decide to add to the comment we made earlier, the Astronomicon needs to be brighter. It's hard to gauge. Does the Astronomicon need to be brighter, or does the Emperor need to focus some of his energy elsewhere so it needs to be supplanted in the Astronomicon? No one really knows. But they decide that we're going to allow, big air quotes here, guys, allow other psychers.
The biggest of air quotes.
They're going to allow a bunch of other psychers to be hooked into the Astronomicon to project their psychic power to aid the Emperor's psychic power.
Let's be honest, to be fair, this is a bigger deal early on. The Imperium's smaller. The Emperor's not known as a god, so people aren't willing to just jump off buildings to kill themselves for him. This is when he's just the leader of the Imperium.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit very shortly about where they were actually getting these psychers from.
This wasn't religious fervor. This is... hey, originally, you should reply to my ad for great opportunity on Terra.
Yeah, this is the original, like, catfished into a like sex trafficking cult.
Yes, it's not great.
Well, actually, the original, it's the future version, better put it. So what happened is what the Astronomicon actually was doing is they built 10,000 seats inside the Astronomicon. And again, when I say seat, it wasn't a seat. It was a place a human body could be placed.
You get snuffed so fast.
Well, no, you make it. I think the math I have is about 10 days.
It's pretty quick, man.
10 days.
It's you're a days. Withering husk.
It's 10 days of all of your psychic energy, soul, and being sucked out into the great machine. Oops. The Emperor actually, though, really to give him some credit here, was heavily against this idea. This was Malkador's idea, not the Emperor's idea.
Again, Malkador, as much as the Emperor does some bad shit.
Malkador was evil.
Yes. Malkador always goes, what's the easiest, shittiest way to achieve what I need to achieve?
The Emperor had a love for mankind and wanted to further mankind. Did he do it wrong a lot of times? Yeah, most of the time, actually. But Malkador, I actually don't know what Malkador's motivation was.
He was best friends with the Emperor, and he also wanted I really think he was so practical. But his practicality was almost always evil.
Malkador was rough.
Because he wants to do, again, this is a great plan if you have absolutely no ethos.
Yeah, and I think what's going to end up happening here is the Emperor's plan was, all right, we'll sacrifice, you know, probably a couple million people. I mean, it's not, the Emperor doesn't really care about people dying that much, but I'll sacrifice a few of them because the Webway project will be up and running and then we're golden. Then fast forward, Magnus breaks the Webway project.
Which wasn't going to work. Vulcan already said that.
Yeah, it was never going to work in the first place, but then Magnus breaks it. And then the Emperor's entombed in said golden throne and having to use, what makes this worse than the Emperor's having to use his psychic powers to keep the Webway closed.
Yeah, so because they opened a permanent opening.
Yeah, into the immaterial.
Into the immaterial.
Yeah, it was definitely not the Webway.
They go, hey man, I know you just almost died in all dimensions and your soul got ripped apart, your psyche got shattered, but we have a serious problem in the basement. Also, we really need the lighthouse to work. Yeah. So if you could take care of all of those right now.
At all times.
Forever.
All day, every day.
Oh, just letting you know that the ruinous powers are going to attack you at all times.
And later we're going to discuss, does the Astronomicon actually just power the lighthouse or does it feed the Emperor?
It 100% feeds the Emperor. It's fine.
So
he's getting power level 10,000.
From there, the next one that we kind of want to move into from the psychers are astropaths. And again, I'm sorry, guys, this feels a little bit disjointed. It's all going to start to make sense pretty soon. These are all kind of independent pieces, and I wasn't sure the best way to do them.
The astropaths and navigators.
They're different.
No, I'm saying, not that they're different. Which is more valuable, or are they just equal? They both have to be.
The astropath, I think.
Because communication is just more, important.
It's really that piece of, like, the difference is. So, okay, we'll talk about what an astropath is, and we'll discuss, we'll debate some in a minute. So an astropath, as we said, a psyker can see through the warp. They can see, but they can't, like, see, like, they don't take in the warp. They can just see points in the warp. They can see warp storms.
They're
helmsmen. Yeah, that's what they can see. The astropath actually can communicate to other astropaths in the warp. That's what makes astropaths. So if you think about it, if you are 10,000 light years away from someone, you want to send a message, even at 100 times the speed of light, so it takes 10 years to get there. Yeah. You can't have
it. We need to talk now.
Yeah. Astropaths can actually speak now. Can we talk about how they actually speak? No, they sing into the warp and they sing it back.
We're not talking about
it. It's just, I don't feel like dealing with that crap right now, to be honest. If you're into it.
It's super goofy.
It is. It's actually pretty cool, but it's 15 minutes of your life.
Some of the stories are cool, but.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we're both on team. No. So the astropaths, what they allow to do is actual full communication. So astropaths are probably one of the most prevalent psychers in the service of the Imperium.
One of the bigger things is, this is why they're so common, because an astropath can be what's considered a fairly low power psyker.
Yeah, and the astropaths, but they have to be everywhere. So astropaths are on every ship. And we say every ship, I don't mean every Imperial Navy ship. I mean, you know, Eisenhorn has an astropath with him. every single, you know.
Eisenhorn has a lot of guys that die instantly.
Yeah, plural, actually. With the, Eisenhorn goes through a lot of astropaths.
People die on that ship quite a lot.
Yeah. But every single, all the rogue traders would have an astropath with them. Because if you don't have an astropath, you can't even send a distress signal. Because this is how everyone communicates. If you're sitting there trying to use Morse code, well, no one can see it.
The thing is that space is just ridiculously big.
And that's why the only way to do it, you'd be sending a message. If you're using the speed of light, it could be a month before it's received.
Right.
So every single ship has astropaths. Also, every planet has to have astropaths on it.
Multiples.
Obviously. Yeah, multiple, at multiple levels. You have shortwave communication, obviously. You don't have cell phones. They have communication within a planet. But if that planet has to talk to a ship, why have multiple modes of communication? You choose astropaths. So they are everywhere.
And this is the psyker that is the most used, but also the most accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are still... Psykers aren't treated well, by the way, unless you have power where you can make people go accept the fact that you're going to nuke them. But as far as like you just let someone know you're a psyker, people aren't kind to you.
Yeah. And astropaths, people just kind of, they weren't kind of them. They were accepted. There was something that was like, okay, yeah, we have to have that.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about what they look like later because it's actually a function of how they're created. So that kind of brings us to the term sanctioned psyker. This is why at this point, this will start to make a bit more linear sense. The Imperium of Mankind has a massive distrust towards psykers. So they decide.
Well, they should.
Oh, it's correct. This is based on reality. I mean, the truth is, I think the numbers.
Basically what accounts for evil wizards murdering people and or a guy that tried to show you a card trick and everyone died because demonic incursion.
So I would argue a psyker left their own devices 9 out of 10 times will turn to chaos.
Yeah, it's just or bad shit happens.
Become chaos.
Yeah, he won't mean to because people don't know how to control it. So they just go, I tried to make my little card trick. I tried to guess your card and make something on fire. And then 47 bloodthirsters showed up and you're like, That is not what I was hoping.
That wasn't the goal. Because don't forget, I mean, two of them, Tzeentch and Slaanesh are hunting down psykers to invest them. I don't think Nurgle gives that much of a crap, and Khorne is hunting them down a different way.
Right.
They should all die. They remind me of Tzeentch. But this is over time. So the Imperium effectively creates a sanctioned versus unsanctioned psyker. And a sanctioned psyker is any psyker the Imperium has put through its education program, cough, cough, re-education. And an unsanctioned psyker is all the others.
Which can be shot on sight, by the way.
Yes. The Inquisition has the right to murder. Just you having the power and not having like the associate like tattoo or job title, you're dead now.
Yeah, you need to be scanned immediately or somebody's going to be shooting at you.
So to kind of break down the types of sanctioned psykers, we've talked about a few of them. There's a few we're not going to touch on here, and you'll figure out why in a second. Astropaths, navigators, then what are called primaris psykers, which we're going to cover, some inquisitors, librarians, and technically gray knights, but no one.
Well, librarians are the psykers from the space marines.
Yes.
Primaris psykers are psykers that aren't space marines.
When we say librarians, I didn't mean the people working the Dewey Decimal System down the corner. All right?
There's a difference between librarians and primaris psykers because primaris psykers are all psykers that are psychic powers that aren't in power armor.
That aren't also a space marine and got 19 organs, a lot of which that don't work.
That don't stop you from getting poisoned.
It's important to not get poisoned. You wouldn't want to get poisoned. That'd be embarrassing.
Damn it.
So the act of sanctioning a psyker is done by who else than the Adeptus Telepathica? They oversee all the psykers in the Imperium. They recruit is a term here with an extreme
use of air quotes. This is a weird ministerium, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the fact that most everybody in the Adeptus Telepathica is not a psyker. And they have a bias towards psykers. And a lot of them hate psykers. And they're in charge of all the psykers.
I'll go ahead and say, psykers are not that far off a subclass of species.
They're 100% a subclass.
Actually, I was going to say, they're like a really messed up version of slave, with the exception of a few. Obviously librarian psychers, gray knights, inquisitors. Oh, it's a weird
the way that they
psychers keep... are really weird because the vast majority of them are They're not even part. People don't even see them.
They keep them in the horrific nightmare levels of like the Navigators, for instance. We're going to get that more. Yeah. But Navigators and Astropaths are often kept in just awful, like just Lovecraftian torture methods.
And the if your Navigator or Psych or like Astropath dies and you have a backup, see Eisenhorn, you don't really care. It's like, all right, let's get another one.
You don't even have to let people know, by the way.
Yeah, they don't matter. Now, again, if you're in the middle of traveling in the warp, as we discussed with Slaanesh, and all your Navigators die, that's a bad day. You're also going to die, but actually a much worse death than they did. So on to where we're going with this, which is, hey, what happened? What's up with all the Psychers? So one thing to kind of that want to make sure is clear is there are a ton of Psychers being born every day.
In millions of worlds.
There's probably billions of these beings that are coming into existence. So how do you handle that? Well, two things. One, the black ships, which we get to in a second, and two, the Imperial Tithe.
And the Imperial Tithe isn't one thing. Let's go over this real quick.
Yep.
Because of the fact that the Imperial Tithe does not mean that every planet gives 2 ducats and a bushel of corn. You give something specific to the Imperium based on what your planet produces.
Sort of. So you do, but you also always give 2 things.
True. You always give X amount of Psychers.
Yeah, Psychers and soldiers. Yep. Those are the 2 things. So as
Soldiers kind of goes without.
Yeah, soldiers were kind of a given. Every Imperial governor is in charge of monitoring Psychers. Are they good at this? No, most of them are shit at it. But they use the Adeptus Arbites, whoever it is, and they kind of collect any and all Psychers that exist. And every 100 years-ish, a fleet of ships will arrive in orbit.
Well, it depends on the planet, too, because some planets are known to produce Psychers, so they show up more often.
But you're expected a visit every 100 years. That's kind of the way to...
And you're not super excited about this.
Yeah, this is a terrifying visit, because... You're giving your tithe of soldiers. You're giving your resources. Those could be almost, daily, weekly, monthly, those are going. But every, 100 years or so, a bunch of all-black ships will appear in orbit. They let you know you're coming. And they are here to collect your Psychers. And you better have them. Because they came a long way on a really rough journey to get them. And they're going to come down to the planet, and they're going to pick up all of the Psychers that you have gathered for them. And these black ships might be the most nightmarish thing in the Imperium for actually almost everyone involved with them.
Yes.
These things, ugh. Like, honestly, as I was writing some of the notes, I kept going, ugh. So Imperium Psychers, they're also this incredible resource because, as we discussed, all that they can do. Navigation, communication, but also just being able to fight back against chaos. You need them to do all these things. However, they are also, it's almost like handling a live nuclear weapon.
Well, it's such a big thing. You need it. It's a great source of power. It's a great weapon.
What's the chemical people take when you have heart issues that when we were kids, like if you shook it, it would explode?
Nitro.
Yeah.
Nitroglycerin. Yeah. I can go into my car and show you. Yeah,
so for those of us who are older, nitroglycerin was this thing where it's like, it was this great trope in sci-fi where it's like, if it shook, it would explode. And blow a building up. But
it also saves my life.
They also give it to people with heart conditions and they're totally fine. So anyway.
Well, it's a big deal in this because it's a source of power. It's a power. It is a weapon. But the thing is that it's also hated because these Psychers have done a bunch of terrible shit.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, we've done so much more terrible shit back to them. Like, wow, bad shit to them.
Yeah, but most of them aren't aware of it.
So that makes it okay.
No, I'm just saying.
Horrible acts of terror, terror. Yeah, but they don't know.
We're about to get into some of the worst of them that we do. So the Imperium kills Psychers on sight unless they're part of the Imperium, in which case they're pressed into service. The Adeptus Astrotelepathica's job is to convert these, what I would call wild Psychers that are being picked up on the planets, into full Psychers. But the Adeptus Telepathica only does this in one place, and that's on Terra. They, you know, and there's a reason for that. Psykers are really dangerous. So if you're going to bring a bunch of psykers to one place, you need to do it in the most controlled and protected environment possible. You can't just have like fringe worlds going. I mean,
let's hope for the best.
Well, we'll do a Star Wars reference here. It's like, how many times does some Jedi try to teach a new Padawan and then like, and I made a Sith.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah. Ugh, why won't we learn? That's effectively the story here.
And also, I'm probably going to take him to where the custodes are. But
yeah, it's probably better to be like, hey, where are the custodes and the Grey Knights closest? Okay, yeah, that'll work. So one of the bigger problems, though, is with this is that this is what we these are called black ships. Psykers, as we've said, are not only sensed by the warp, but they can actually be viewed through the warp. Navigators can see, again, these beacon, a big beacon of psychic energy, the Astronomicon, is a beacon of psychic energy.
But it's also a lens into the material plane.
Yeah, so we land on an imperial planet. We pick up 30,000 psykers of varying age and power.
You might as well have lit all of the flares. Yeah. The beacons of Gondor have been lit.
Then we're going to put them on a ship. That ship holds more than that. So we have these ships, these black ships moving around the galaxy full of psychers.
Wait for it. Moving through the warp.
Moving through the warp too. Yeah, it's the better way of putting it.
They can explode. They can explode with power. They can straight up explode. And they can also be, they can explode into, hey, I'm now a door.
Yeah. Or I'm a bloodthirster.
Yeah, like, or both, to be exactly, honest with you.
It's not a great scenario.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of bad options. When you go into the drop-down menu, not a great amount of, I get a cookie.
Yeah, and so the Imperium, but surprise, surprise, has a plan for this.
And it's, as always, horrific in nature.
Exactly. It's like, oh, hey, we have a crew. It's really dangerous, this ship. What should we do about it? I don't know, abject violence and oppression? All right, that's a go.
You mean standard Imperium tactics?
Exactly. So in order to handle these things, the black ships are layered with multiple defenses against this. The first is the most common one, which is a Geller field.
Let's talk about it again, because we've had people talk about where we use a term and we don't use it for 11 episodes. And
come on, just you should be listening to all our episodes back to back to back.
Every week.
And you guys not realize we recorded all of these, everything you've ever listened to in one weekend. Brad and I, we just didn't sleep.
But a Geller field is effectively force fields versus magic. It's force fields versus the Immaterium. It is a barrier between the physical universe and the Immaterium, and it is the thing that effectively creates a bubble around a ship while it's traveling in the Immaterium. Exactly.
When you're in the warp, because you are now in the Immaterium, as we've learned during some stories of the Horus Heresy, the demons can just walk in and they're like, all right, I'm here now. This is about to get horrible. A Geller field prevents that. A Geller field also can prevent a demon from jumping into a being inside the ship who could, you know, like a psyker could manifest in this. The Geller field prevents that transmission. The black ships, though, take this to a different level. So first off, their external Geller field not only blocks this, but also they have it turned on the inside and blocks what we just discussed, the light of all these psykers coming out. So these black ships actually appear as black in the warp.
They're not black ships because they spray painted them black. These are black ships because they just appear as nothing.
Yeah, you don't know they're there. And so they layered their Geller fields. First, the Geller field on the outside, obviously, to protect it at a higher level than anything else, but also individual Geller fields all throughout the ship, isolating the psykers, isolating the crew, isolating everyone so that even if anything goes wrong, the whole ship doesn't go down to it.
Which is a big deal. Then we'll talk about the first layer of many bad things that's happened to these psykers. These psykers all have a connection to the warp and it's on 24/7. And then you just got it cut off.
Yeah.
So one, it feels like you now have lost the ability to see, to hear. I'm part of it. You know how I'm in charge of the Imperium. But the Imperium doesn't exactly give these guys a pamphlet that this is going to happen. So this is the first of several bad things that's about to happen to them.
Yeah, they go into a that's actually a great point, because they've probably been hearing voices of the warp. There have been things, it might just be static, but there's been noise, and suddenly the static's over.
Yeah.
You're in a ship, and that's going to be unnerving. One important piece to this, though, that we need to dive into is it's not just demons that are trying to get access to these things. The Tyranids are naturally hunting down psychic beacons. The Eldar, we don't know what the Eldar would do if they found the black ships, but it might not be good. But they can also see these things pretty well. One of the bigger ones is Chaos, primarily Abaddon.
He wants these psychers.
If he can destroy these, not even, he can just destroy
it's the either. Ship. Well, he destroys them.
They are.
Yeah, yep. He knows that they're super important, but also it's a resource.
Yeah, and that's why this is a resource that you could either capture for yourself or destroy and impede the growth of the Imperium. Both are things we saw through all of his crusades. All right, not all of his crusades, but through a number of his crusades were things he was trying to do. So, but let's dive into how much worse this gets.
It's so bad.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
So the other problem that you run into with a psyker is they can cast powers. So how do you stop someone from casting powers? Well, let's just make it so that they can't focus on anything ever.
What's the best way to do that? Oh, amongst our weaponry, amongst our diverse elements of the Spanish Inquisition is...
Yeah, we're going to start phase one of the horrible things. They have counter-psychers who are throughout the ship. And what these counter-psychers are doing is they're just constantly reaching into the, they use something called an occluding sphere. And the occluding sphere reaches into the minds of all of these prisoners and just basically makes it so that it interrupts their thoughts. You know, it's the old interrupting cow.
They says, set a speaker on their head and turn it to 11 with metal.
Well, it's not even that. That's another thing that they do. The loud noises comes later.
Yeah.
You're jumping. This is just if you're a random person speaking to you real quickly and then disappearing. So you can never even have a thought or a moment to yourself. This person's kind of interrupting you. So they never get any semblance of thought, understanding. Well, next thing to do is Brad's genuine nightmare. All the cells are almost pitch black, but not pitch black enough. It's that level of darkness where you can kind of see, but can't. But randomly, all the lights flash like a flashbang. Just not a timed thing, like when you have a broken light in the corner of your room.
This is like Migraineville population
this is basically designed for just drop them. And this is, again, designed to interrupt thought. So you're sitting there, you're in the darkness, your eyes can't focus because it's not black enough that you give up. There's always enough light that you can kind of want to see something. And then
they get you focusing on.
Yeah. And then blam, a light, you're blinded for 4 or 5 seconds and you're back into it. Just again, to never allow you to think. And of course, though, that's not enough for the senses. So we've done the inside of your brain. We've done your eyes. Well, let's also jack up your ears. It's just loud noise.
It's not even just, it is noise. I mean, it's just... But construction it's site. Yeah, it's random shit.
That piece of,
it's ever pots lived, banging.
That's a great description. Anyone's ever lived next to a construction site that's working, it's not a rhythmic sound. It's just constant different noises doing noise. And so you can never focus. The worst part about this is that these journeys are months or years on.
Yeah, if you got picked up first, the psyker.
Every minute of every hour of every day.
You also have no idea why you're going anywhere. Yeah. You were just told, hey, man, you're going to Holy Terra. You're going to
maybe. Or maybe it's just like, hey, we're sending you somewhere. Come here, Eric.
But say that you could pump people up. You're going to meet the emperor. I'm going to meet God. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then you walk in and go, this is the worst.
These are going to be quite young, by the way, because any psyker who's older has been executed. Yeah. That the, no one's
yeah, taking this the risk is on that. Children, basically.
It's mostly children. Yeah. There's a lot of this where, like, much like Brad's sacrificing of children to the orcs through your screening with your scout marines. Again, I didn't even realize scout marines were children until I was doing the research.
They're at least teenagers. Thank you very much.
Fine. But these are all very, very young individuals who are, and they live this nightmare forever. But
I mean, it has to feel like forever too, because you have no concept of time.
Yeah. This is because every second of it. I forgot to mention
that most of these, it's not even some, most of these people are broken. They are completely insane by the time they get to Terra.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into
they are just, what they do with them. They're later. Husks of people. Yeah.
So the other piece of this, the black ships, though, are incredibly crucial. And so the crews of the ships are also really important, are also very different. So first off, you know, the bridge and navigation are full of psychers. They have to be. You know, your astropaths and navigators have to be there. They actually sit on a very unique version of Geller Field because, again, these guys have to be able to see out of the ship. So they actually have a Geller Field underneath them on the bridge that protects them, just their own Geller Field from them, from the crew. Because imagine if any of the crew could focus for a second, their mind's going to try and reach to the closest psyker, which would be an astropath or a navigator. And boom, now you've got a chain reaction out. So they actually sit on top of this thing. And this crew, as we talked about, if you listen to our last episode, where there's a Slaanesh demon that can actually reach into astropaths, and the danger is they could kind of, you know, they explode into a demon and slaughter the crew.
Well, in a pause on this, one of the reasons it's so why... what they do is puts them at super risk. While this is the Imperium's version of we're going to make it safe, this also makes it so it's super dangerous, because a psyker is at his most powerful when he's at his most desperate, his most emotional.
That's when he will make the deal.
Right.
Exactly. So these crew, what I want to point out though is that this crew, these astropaths and these navigators, there is military personnel on the deck with them,
in a lot of them.
Yeah, because the thing is, as we said before, if one of the navigators or one of the astropaths does decide to burst into being a demon suddenly, you need to kill that demon before the other astropaths die, because you don't want to be on a black ship wandering aimlessly in the void. That is probably the worst scenario.
And there's layers of people that are supposed to kill the other guys too.
Yeah, it's
just, there's a lineup of people with guns pointed at another guy's head.
Yeah, it's everything's set for just this is going to work. So the thing about black ships though is they're actually not much more than just a giant freighter. It was funny, I was actually thinking about the movie Alien, where it's just a giant
kind
ship.
Of, yeah.
it's like 12 people on it. So there is just not. It's a pretty skeleton crew outside of that. Monitor it, because all of the technology is built to just keep these people in their pens. But you do every now and then have to, you know, so you're not like, you have to kind of polish the decks, do all this stuff. So there is a crew that's wandering around. You're going to have your chefs. You're going to have your maintenance personnel. You're going to have all these guys. These are all specially recruited because they're all blanks.
I was going to say, you're just grabbing all of the blanks. And by the way, there's just not that many blanks.
Yeah, blanks. There's a lot more psychers than blanks.
100%.
So in a blank, for those of you who aren't aware, a blank is someone who doesn't. How do I say this?
He's just unconnected to the warps.
Yeah, they don't exist within the warp effectively, and they actually.
There's also levels to blanks because they're immune to psychic corruption. They're immune to psychic. If you're trying to manipulate them, you could use psychic powers as, and I could just take a piece of rock and launch it at your face.
Yeah, yeah. A blank has. The warp just doesn't affect them is the best way to kind of look at it. And so what makes them great, obviously, is that, and this has a few different effects. One, it means that a psyker can't, you know, manipulate them. So
they can't overpower their mind.
You couldn't come in and say, hey, open this cell door. They just won't do it. You know, like we've all seen Star Wars, so we use that one. The other one, too, though, is that they also can't be viewed. So a lot of really powerful psychic entities don't actually view through their eyes. They view through the warp. They see things that way. they don't see blanks. They're actually not aware of, well, of their
whole,
presence.
There's whole sisters that don't even see at all.
We're about to get into how beneficial this is. So having a crew that's able to do this, that means that if you have a psyker sitting in a cell under this level of torture, they won't actually know that the guy mopping the floor, who the psyker could use to manifest their way out, because they're in a blank. They don't know they're there. And even if they did know they were there, they couldn't reach into their mind to use them. This also, one little thing about them too, they also can somewhat resist. So it's not just the maintenance crew, but even a lot of soldiers that are there will be blanks, because they also can resist some psychic powers. They're not immune to smites.
This is pretty crazy though, because this is like some of the 80s action movies where the random janitor's the baddest dude around.
Yeah.
Because the janitors are kind of the baddest dudes around, because these dudes have all went through intensive training.
Well, they're all combat trained.
Right. They're combat trained, they're chaos resistant trained.
I really don't want to make this reference, but it's the only one I can make.
You're going to under siege this?
Yeah, we're going to have to see Seagal under siege. I think we are in the same boat there. We're both like, oh God, this is Steven Seagal and under siege. Steven Seagal sucks so much now.
But it's a big thing, because this is the craziest thing, because random guys are badasses on these ships.
If a psyker were to escape their pen, you wouldn't, the guy, again, mopping the floor outside,
would ruin you.
Like it's nothing. Yes. Just shove him back in. It's going to take him down, throw him back in the pen, shut the door, and go back to mopping, and maybe not even start sweating.
Yeah.
Like these guys are cool as hell. The other key one that's there, though, is the Adeptus Telepathica are all over the ship. And what they're doing is they're wandering the ship, marking down all of the prisoners. Here's their level up. Basically seeing, with all the torture that they're doing to them, how well are they resisting the torture? Because that's a good gauge of their level of psychic powers.
It's also, to be honest, while these methods are just nightmare level, they do get to see how these people would deal with the ruinous powers trying to manipulate them, trying to assault them, because the ruinous powers don't just throw lightning bolts at you.
Oh, yeah.
They try to tear your mind apart.
None of the stuff that they're doing to these psychers is just because they're evil and enjoy torture. This is just, they're just bad at thinking up clever ideas that don't involve torture.
Yeah, and pain. Except for the fact of 90% of this ship becomes people that are bleeding out of their eyeballs and drooling.
Yeah.
And then they have 10% left. They're like, this, we've got a lot of people that'll all work out. Okay. So yeah, you get this and they start basically going, that guy would be good for this.
Yeah. Prisoner 1778 grade. There's basically grade B, giving a grade B, a grade C, yep, a grade D. And this will help, because once they get back to Earth, they're going to get kind of shuffled out of this thing and moved into different areas. Now, the ship is actually this is really interesting. I read this three times, so I could still be wrong, but I'm 85% I'm right on this. The black ships are actually run by the Inquisition. That is who oversees them. That is their primary, the people with the most power on the ship, the people who are in charge of, are actually the Inquisition. Well,
it's the end all, because there could only be a few agents of the Inquisition that are around. That this is the reason I said that there's a guy with a gun holding a gun to the guy with a gun.
The last guy is the Inquisition.
Yeah. He's supposed to kill everyone.
And the reason this actually does make sense, because if you think about the Adeptus Telepathica, even though, as Brett said, they don't like psychers, their job is to deliver psychers to Terra. They may view something as not as significant as the Inquisition. The Inquisition, because the Inquisition who's there are the most extreme members of the Ordo Malleus. They see anything they don't like, that prisoner is getting ejected into space.
Yep.
We're not messing around.
Yeah. They're going to shoot them twice and also eject them into space.
And then shoot a bomb at them.
just in case.
Yeah. They are, because these ships represent one of the greatest resources of the Imperium, but also one of the greatest threats. We're probably hitting this too many times, but if for whatever reason a black ship were to turn to chaos,
that's bad news bears.
This is a death ship of incredible power. So the Inquisition is there to make sure that doesn't happen.
Also, it can easily be corrupted because, oh yeah, you've been torturing these people for sometimes a year or two.
Yeah, they're not.
They're pretty not big. Their love of the Imperium. No one's got the foam finger that says Imperium's number one at this point in time.
Yeah. This is kind of a cool one because I'm not sure a lot of you know this. Post 13th Black Crusade, where Baden split the sky, the Black ship's travel patterns have changed a lot. It used to be they could actually put enough blanks on them, they could move in silence throughout the galaxy, and they just avoid the Eye of Terror.
Well, now that it's a rift, a Voltron rift across the middle of it.
So the Black ships used to actually move kind of almost quietly throughout the galaxy, collecting and moving and moving. Because Chaos now has so much more access, and also the Tyranids are so much more heavily there, they've turned up the Black ships. They actually move a lot quicker, which makes them more visible. In order to do that, they had to arm them better. And they've armed them with what is the greatest anti-psyker...
Sisters of Silence.
The Sisters of Silence. And the Sisters of Silence, I didn't even realize this, existed and then disappeared for 10,000 years within the lore. The Sisters of Silence are, and there's not a lot of detail on them yet. I do have the Custodes book in my other room, which I haven't read it yet. Apparently there's a key piece of it. The Sisters of Silence, they're all blanks. They fight at a similar level to a Custode.
They also have different focuses of that. And they also have levels of, they can make, they're not just blanks. They emanate
blank. Yeah, they can suck psychic energy out. Yeah. These are great because if you think about why they're there, what is there's not really, they could handle an external threat, but if the Black ships are under attack by, say, a Chaos fleet, they can call an Imperial Navy and they'll be there pretty quick. These guys, the way that they're moving through the galaxy, they don't move with a retune of support vehicles, but they're always on a path that the Imperial Navy is aware of. So they can get there almost instantly. The bigger danger is an attack from within. Something jumps in. And what works better than that? Well, you have a demon. As we said, they tend to see through the warp.
The Sisters of Silence can bounce demons is the fantastic part.
That's it. They can bounce demons. Or the demon, even a demon can't see a Sister of Silence a lot of times. So you jump in.
Well, they can. Sisters of Silence by themselves in the stories sometimes stop demonic incursions because they stop the opening, basically. Yeah. They plug the dam.
They just walk. Well, because they're emanating such blank, which is a weird way to say it. Yeah. They're emanating such a level of null field. They're emanating a null field. They just walk near wherever this gateway is, and the gateway can't hold form anymore and collapses.
Yeah, it's crazy. Sisters of Silence are wackily power. Talking about things that don't translate into the game.
Oh, yeah, they're useless.
Yeah, they're better now.
Because now.
Wow, but I'm saying they were. But man, they are in stories, in lore, which we're doing. Lorecast. In the lore, they are wildly useful so powerful.
It has something to do with this cast. Besides, I think that characters like that, it's the same with Rogue Traders. There's one, Joe Caro. Let's keep bringing up Joe Caro. I think it's because they're not interesting as like a battalion.
Yeah.
Interesting as an individual. Because one sister can do so much cool stuff that it's like, can one sister fight off 20 orcs? No. So on the tabletop, it just doesn't really
work. Yeah, it's true. I mean, you're like, you've got all these mystical abilities. You're like, yeah, five dudes just beat you up.
Yeah, or like an Eldar just saw you, but I got a Bright Lance and she doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
But if you're talking about something like where you're doing like a Blackstone Fortress type game, more of an RPG setting, they're amazing because they bring...
And they're must-haves.
Yeah, they bring this incredible, you know, this sense of powers. And so that's why they're on these ships, because you don't need a lot of them. But you have just enough. And it makes it so that if you try to infiltrate the ship, you've got this incredible warrior moving throughout it that's probably built to fight you specifically. So anyway, that's the Sisters. Eventually, these Black ships do get back to Terra.
With a gigantic ship of now crazy people.
Just crazy wrecked people. And as we said, the Adeptus Telepathica has been giving everyone grades, marking it all down. So what they're going to do is they're going to offload the ship, and they're just going to send you off into whatever area they think you belong. So now, if you are...
the people that are still cognizant of thought.
Yeah.
Get sorted out. Now, unfortunately, the people that are still with it are pretty easily manipulated, because you can say, would you like that not to happen again? And you're like, whatever you say I have to do, I'm going to do that so you don't put me in another dark cell where I get tortured, you know, all day, 24/7 for a year or two. That seems better.
That seems better than where we were. So we're going to, they're going to take them, they're going to send them off, and they're going to go either, if they're kind of, if they fit the, my guess is for the, they don't explain this clearly, but my assumption is to become a Space Marine librarian, my guess is you also probably had some markings down from the Imperial governor of like, oh, by the way, this kid can fight. So Space Marine librarian. If you're not that and you're really intelligent, but you really have it all together, the Inquisition will probably take you then.
You can go Inquisition. You can go Primaris Psyker, which is the guard use them.
Yep.
As everything from shields to bombs, effectively.
I marked down navigators here, although navigators mostly are coming from Terra, so I'm not 100% on this. I just couldn't.
Well, the ships do grab navigators, but they kind of grab them as part of what they grabbed as they towed the net.
Yeah, it's just that it's been navigators because it's a genetic thing. Yeah. I don't know how many they're bringing in.
But
there are some is, who just
it's, you're,
no it is, one is aware of, which is the Grey Knights also. So as we talked about the Space Marine librarians, the ones who come out of this and are just like...
Yeah, the dude comes out and he's literally sitting, he's floating above his cot, staring at you, pissed off. You're like...
Just like, hey, by the way, I like the muffins. I wasn't a big fan of the bacon. You're it's like, just like this was nothing.
We're probably going to mark Liu Kang as the guy there.
Yeah, that guy's going, you're going over to meet the Grey Knights. Oh my God, what is that creature?
Yeah. Please get away from us. We don't all want to die. But most of these guys, to be fair, let's be honest, these guys are getting rubber stamped astropath like it's going out of style.
Yeah, it's all astropath. Or.
Or you get the honor.
Yeah, you get the other one. So the ones who really did struggle through this get to go somewhere else.
Now, also, all the crazy people do get plugged into this, too.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. A lot.
Yeah, if you got broken and you're just a drooling person, well, you get the...
We've got a purpose. Hey,
was the last year or two too much for your mind to handle? Well, we've got another prize for you.
Yep. So the first thing that we're going to do... Now, we're going to talk about something called soul binding in a second here. Now, as we were saying before, if you come out of this thing and you're you showed like it was nothing, you're a Grey Knight. If you're doing pretty well, you're going to go Space Marine Librarian, or you're going to go Inquisition. If you're not one of them, and this does include Primaris Psykers, and you're going to now be put into this, because they have, all those three have their own training regimes that they do. So they'll teach you how to use your powers. The Imperium has a cheat code for making it so their Psykers don't explode into demons.
Well,
and it's called soul binding.
Well, yeah, but it's also, it's not really a soul bind. It's the Emperor's will is bonkersville better than yours is.
I'm going to make a movie reference now, and I'm going to tell you, if you don't know this reference, go fix it. So in The Princess Bride, Wesley is strapped down to a machine and that's going to suck his life force out. And they can go anywhere from a 1 to a 10. Soul binding works this similar way. What a soul binding is they strap you into a machine and they force a portion of the Emperor's psyche into you. And what this does is it purges your soul of any chaos corruption.
Yeah, and also, but it's not like theory, a cool process. Gets worse.
In theory, it also makes you more aligned with the Imperium.
I think you meant to say malleable.
Yeah. Depending,
because the Emperor, a tiny portion of the Emperor, because he's so wildly powerful.
The Emperor
shatters your will.
Well, the Emperor used, this is the same force the Emperor used to make Horus no longer exist.
Yeah. He puts a drop of that in and it accidentally almost shatters your mind. It definitely shatters your will.
And the reason I made the Princess Bride reference is, depending on what your task is going to be for the Imperium, they turn this machine up or down.
True. You get either a drop or you get several drops.
Yeah, if you're going to be a Primaris psyker, you get probably a 1 to 3, somewhere in that realm. If you're going to be an astropath, you're more on like the 3 to 7 because it does somewhat lobotomize you too. You become.
And they don't care.
Oh, not at all. This means
well, that's the thing. We go back to the astropath though. This is another reason why they're so unbelievably insane, terrible to the astropath. They don't care at this point in time. The primary psyker has to be, he has to be able to do shit.
Yeah.
A astropath, if you broke this dude.
Things and say the things that they're told to say. That's
correct.
It.
If this dude's just sitting, shitting his pants, like laying there, you're like, it seems like a great astropath.
In fact, a lot of the astropaths are physically broken by this process.
Think about half the astropath that they've used with Eisenhorn. He has those guys tied up in the basement, basically. Yeah. They don't move at all.
If you've ever seen an astropath model, they look horrifying.
Yeah. They're just broken. Yeah. Like most of the time, they just have them jammed in shit.
Well, they have to be massively physically augmented because usually this and the reason why is this soul binding. So if you want to know why an astropath looks the way it does, it's because the soul binding process, when shoved through them, but even Primaris psychers usually have some level of cybernetic augmentation, it will turn off some of your organs. It will, limbs will make.
Wait, it's also off. Because of the fact when they're putting part of the Emperor's juice into you, it's like if I said, hey man, can I have an aspirin? Somewhere between 1 in 100 million milligrams. They don't know how much they're giving.
You're saying, how can I have an aspirin? And like, no, how about we hit you with a taser?
And what kind of taser? You're like, I'm going to go to the transformer.
The one that makes all the ticking noises. I'm going to do it till the battery dies. Yeah. Let's see what happens. So yeah, they effectively die to a point from this, but are purged. And to defend the Imperium in this one, remember, an astropath that turns to chaos, super bad. So they have to make
sure that they work. Yeah. It just is awful.
Yeah. Now, there is one more level to the soul bind, which is a 7 to 10. This is bringing us full circle back to the Astronomicon. As we said before, we have to have bodies in the Astronomicon. And depending on how you read the lore.
Gotta power up the Emperor.
Depending on how you read the lore, these people are all willing. They write it as they're all willing servants who are excited to be part of this project for the Emperor. However, they've all been through the most extreme version of soul binding. So I'm kind of concerned about.
They already broke them on the black ship.
And it's like this definition of consent is pretty loose is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. When I have a guy that's drooling, we're giving me the 1,000-mile stare. Yeah. You're like, he seems super willing.
Russian KGB, what's it called? Confessions are probably more realistic than some of these. Like, I cannot wait to go into this room. So these are the people that are strapped into the Astronomicon.
This is such a bad way to go.
Yeah. So let's go through where the Emperor is. Emperor is now dying. When Horus hit him with all the powers of chaos, it took a chunk of the Emperor's soul.
Well, it didn't just take his soul. It shattered the Emperor.
Yeah.
The Emperor's soul didn't get destroyed. The Emperor's soul got broken.
And so
the Emperor was multitasking before. Holy shit, the Emperor's multitasking now because there's a bunch of Emperors.
They shoved him into the Golden Throne, sealed it. He had his last words, which were misinterpreted. And now the Emperor inside this Golden Throne, his shattered psyche is powering an Astronomicon, keeping. Well, you know, I'm going to start saying the Webway Gate. It's in quotes here. It actually was never a Webway Gate. It's gate to the
just a gate to the immaterial
that's sitting in the bottom of
that's open. Yeah. He's got a gate in the. He's got a open gate to the Imperium in the basement.
He's also
Terra.
Shielding Terra from chaos incursions.
He's fighting active battles with chaos gods.
And he's sitting in between the Imperium and the Imaterium. He's getting attacked by.
Nonstop.
Everything from a Nurgling through Nurgle.
Yeah.
You know, are trying to mess with him. So this is a bit of a drain.
And you forgot also powering the Astromonicon.
Yeah. So he needs a little bit of, what he could use is a couple monster energy drinks here and there.
Or 1,000 souls a day.
It's 10,000 psykers are strapped into this machine where in the center of it is a giant ball. that is just sucking their life force and energy out of them and then transmitting that energy into the Astronomicon.
It just juices the Golden Throne.
Yeah.
Because it's not the Astronomicon, because the Emperor's totally powering up.
The Astronomicon is linked, is connected to the Golden Throne. So it's going into the Astronomicon. I'm just not sure if it's going
and
out.
And for those that are going to want to say that this is not what's powering up, 100% also true. He's getting powered up because he's basically being worshipped. He's also being worshipped as a god.
There's a lot
which
of
is powering it's powering into the warp, which but is the, get, juicing him.
But to Brad's point, the Astronomicon has 10,000 of these psychers strapped into it. Every day, 1,000 of them die. So that's why I say the average about 10 days. They die. And they die. It's not just the like, ooh, and I'm going to fall over. They just, it's a withering husk disappears.
They just suck everything out of them.
This telepathicus moves quick. One guy runs in, grabs it, unhooks the dead corpse, which I'm assuming looks like a dehydrated mummy, pulls them out, and then shoves the next one in.
Yep.
And they are, because it's funny, they write this, and again, maybe I'm wrong here, if any of you work for GW, tell me where I'm wrong here, but they write it like they're worshiping. I just don't believe that. I think they're also,
you got to remember, with them doing this quickly, there's a shit ton of psychers watching the worst way to die ever and going, wow, that's what I'm queued up to be.
Are they though? Actually, I like it more of a, there's in another room and it just, there's just a room.
The Imperium is such dicks that I just assume they're just like
watching it.
Yeah. Like why bother having them in another room? That would take longer.
So this is the true reason for the black ships. Though, when we discuss what the black ships do, it's these guys. I mean, you could probably recruit astropaths, if I'm being honest. You could lie to them and get them. This is the one, I think, this is why we have black ships, is because we need to actually go much deeper into it. You need black ships also because, again, you have to do all your sanctioning of psychers on Terra. But the reason for the tithe and all this stuff is we're at this point. So let's just do some quick math here. So there are 1,000 psychers a day die to this thing. There are 365 days in a year, and we are at year 11,000 of this. So it is 4 billion psychers to date have died in the Astronomicon.
And that doesn't count all of the people.
4 billion, 15 million, in case any of you did the math yourselves. 4 billion, 15 million.
You got to remember, that's the people that made it. The suck fest that is a black ship. A lot of people die.
I'm just thinking the Astronomicon has itself consumed.
My bad.
4 billion souls. Yeah,
the black ship has cruised in that many, but also not a lot of people make this journey, especially if you were you were the first stop.
Yeah, probably. I mean, quintillion. I mean, the number of dead psychers from this is impossible. So,
and this is why psychers turn to cast.
Yeah, it's actually, when the more we do these casts, like, yeah, you know what? Actually, I get it.
Like, the allure of one of the gods seems...
Or Zinch could just give him, here's a vision of your future. All right, fair enough. What do you want, Zinch?
Yeah, like, I'm cool. Okay. I'm in. I'm a big Zinch worshiper now. Yeah,
what do you need? Like, doing a cult? What's my today?
And people are like, you're going to eventually die a horrible death. You're like, yeah, but I won't die that death. Yeah, it's like,
this has got to be better than that.
Yeah, you can't tell me something worse than what... Ugh. Which is why the Imperium's a nightmare.
So with that, kind of, we'll just conclude from there. I think that's a good enough coverage of this for people. If you have more questions, ask us in Discord.
This is by far the darkest cast we've ever done.
Yeah.
I'm just like, as we're going, I'm like, wow, everything we said was awful.
So next week, join us for the Adeptus Seal Clubbing.
Really? Which would still be happier than this one.
Yeah, it's actually, and by the way, I wrote that as a joke, like Adeptus Seal Clubbing, Adeptus Puppy Kicking, and it's like, yeah, actually, they might have those. So actually, next week, we're going to talk about one of the probably most significant downsides of all these psychers, a certain invasion that has begun of the Tyranids.
You're going to have to call the exterminators in.
Yeah. This is going to be a multi-part where I'm trying to tell the story a little bit differently than we've done other Xenos in the past. Obviously, we're going to give you the lore of Tyranids, but we want to kind of talk more from a timeline standpoint. Tyranids are the greatest threat to the galaxy. And we want to kind of spend some time talking about.
And their main threat, their main push right now to the current timeline of the game, they are the primary antagonist.
Yeah, and I also think Tyranids, and again, I could be corrected here, but I believe they're the only race in the galaxy that every other race is concerned with.
Yes.
It is, including Chaos. Chaos is also very concerned about
it. Yes, Abaddon's not super excited the Tyranids are going because he was doing pretty goddamn well.
And the Tyranids also can disrupt his plans. The Chaos Gods themselves don't, they get nothing out of them and they're
consumed. Yeah, they keep killing their people.
Yeah, obviously the Necrons, Tau, whatever. Well, they would eat a Tau and then they'd make a Tyranid Tau, which would be not that scary.
You're eventually going
to
be.
By the way, I actually had to write this on Discord, and I'll say it again here. I actually don't hate Tau. The joke started, and I've kind of been running with it.
You're just going to meet all the Tau players at a tournament.
I have no issue with Tau. I just enjoy the jokes. But anyway, with that, this has been John Barsotti and Brad Chester.
This guy.
We'll see you guys next week.